obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Roger from Seminole, Florida.
We're going to celebrate one more time. Oh, my God, I love it. My name's Roger, and I'm an alcoholic. Roger. I'm from Boston. No, I'm from Seminole, Florida. And I'm telling you, I've never been to California. Y'all are crazier than hell. Y'all have lost it, man. And I love it. I do. I love it. I love everything y'all been doing. When I came here, I was real depressed. I swear I thought I was the dumbest guy there walking this room. But hell, I feel smart tonight. Woo! I'm telling you, man. But thank y'all so much for letting me come here because I got kids. And school has just started. My wife would have loved to come with me, but she had to stay home and get everybody started, you know, in school. And I had to come by myself. I got teenagers. Woo! Yeah. Act like you know something around them. Whatever. But I swear it's good to be here for me. It really is. And my sobriety date is November the 12th, 1990, and I don't want another one. I'm done. I feel like fried chicken. I swear, man. I've been so nervous I didn't even eat. I'm lying. I don't know who put that basket in my room, but thank y'all. Oh, my God, them tater chips were good. But I ain't no, you know, food yet. But I am after this. But I know what to do when asked to do these things, and because we got clear-cut direction, you know, in the big book. So it's telling the general way what we used to be like. And what happened, which is what I love to talk about. What the hell happened? Man, it was going good. And then something happened. And then all hell broke out. Penitentiary. You ever been to penitentiary? I believe everybody should go. Really, I mean, I say it because I had, it was great for me. It's the only place I know that they'll feed you, they'll clothe you, and if you're lucky enough, you might get in a relationship. And I did. And I did. With a power greater than myself. And that's why I say if you've never been and you haven't met that power, go to penitentiary. I mean, it sounds stupid and crazy, but man, it was perfect for me. Y'all look rough. I'm telling you, everybody in there looks rough. Y'all. I love it. So, my home group is the Monday Night Speakers Group in St. Petersburg, Florida. If you're ever in St. Petersburg, come to our home group. We're just like y'all. We're off the hook. I mean, we're hollering, high-fiving, scratching, pulling on each other. You'll love our home group. The Monday night speakers, and we meet on Monday night. That's not a joke. I was born in Kentucky, and I got sober in Kentucky. We had a group there that was called the Tuesday night group that met on Saturday morning. And they were proud of it. I couldn't believe it. Them old guys wasn't gonna fix nothing. Leave it alone. Crazy. Monday night speakers. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful to have a sobriety. And the guy, I forgot your name already. Jerry, I forgot your name, Jerry. I'm the grapevine chairperson in our area. This is what the grapevine looks like. I'm telling you, man. We have a great time. Don't a lot of people come to our group, though. I'm scared of them all. Hey, come on in. They're going, no. But it's great to be sober. It really is. I had Eeyore, the Eeyore blues when I come to AA. Y'all know who Eeyore is? Hello, I'm sober. I'm so glad to be here. People want to throw water on me. Wake him up. I swear I miss my wife. I had big plans. We were going to come here and have like a little mini honeymoon. She was going to tie me up. I was going to tie. So I'm in a room by myself with fruit. And I'm not kinky. Man. And my wife said, be sure to tell people, ain't nobody getting funky with Chunky. That's right. When I drank, I didn't eat. I ain't kidding you. When I was drunk, I didn't want nothing to eat. I don't want nothing to eat. And you can tell by looking at me, I'm not drinking. Woo! Amen. I love it. I just love it to death. I love people who get up behind the podium and they go, of all the things I do, this is one of the things I hate. Well, sit down. Let us weirdos do this. But thank y'all so much for inviting me to come. I want to thank the committee and Larcine. Oh, Larcine, my buddy. Woo! Man, I met her in New Mexico at Hobbs. I never heard of Hobbs. Y'all ever heard of Hobbs? I never heard of it. And met Larcine, and I swear, man, I thought it was one of my cousins. I swear she's just like somebody out of our family, you know. One of the tree, you know, everybody's got the family tree. This one was leaning. And Larcine was hanging on. But I love you. I do. Thank you so much for y'all inviting me. I grew up in the country. I know. They're all going, I don't believe it. I swear, right in Kentucky, we were poor. You ever been poor? Man, we were poor and didn't even know it. And it was good poor. You ever had good poor? I mean, didn't he know it? And ate government cheese.
All right.
Try putting that in the microwave. That don't melt. I can't even take a hacksaw to slice something. Oh. Government peanut butter. Oh, I loved it. If you get that oil off the top, oh, it's good. Put it on crackers. And I have an older brother, Ralph. I wore his clothes. Whatever he wore out, I wore it. And wasn't no shame in it. I mean, they'd say, Rod, how you feel? I got Ralph's underwear on. Feeling good. We all wore bibbed overalls growing up. And there was a girl here early that had on bibbed overalls. I said, I like your bibs. I thought she was going to slap me. You know, it was like, wow. And I would have wore, I had bibbed overalls on at 3 o'clock this morning. Coming, to, you know, I said, I'm wearing my bibs. My wife said, no, you're not. I said, excuse me. She said, you're not wearing those bibs. I said, hold on, Red. She's got red hair. I said, I'll wear whatever I want to wear anytime I want to wear. Now I want to wear a shirt and pants. The one you picked out. Don't you love people trying to be tough? Let us be tough for a couple seconds. We'll take them off. And I did. And I love my wife. I do. I love her. I swear to God, if she was here tonight, when I kiss her, I still get nervous. I ain't kidding you. Because I got teeth. I came to AA without no teeth. Nothing to brag about. You ever lost a tooth? You ever had my whole front, the front grill was gone. And I'd come, it ain't funny. And I'd come to AA and stand back here by the coffee. I'd hold that great big old 20-gallon cup there you see new guys bring. And girls would walk by and snicker. And I go by, sit beside my sponsor. I said, hey, them chicks think I'm funny. My sponsor said, no, they think you're a lizard. And thank God for sponsorship. Because he helped me, he directed me to go to the University of Louisville School of Dentistry. And we started working the steps, and my teeth grew back. Miracles. I could chew today. But I loved my sponsor, and man, it was just perfect. But growing up, we didn't have nothing. Had my poor old daddy was a great big old man. You know, when you were little, it seemed like your dad was like an oak tree. Or in our house, my dad looked so big. And he was a guy who would do farms for people, sharecropper for rich people. And they'd let us stay at the old country house. And my dad loved to work, and he'd do the work, and whatever they had that year, if they grew corn, we had corn all year. If we grew beans, we had beans all year. If we grew hay, we didn't eat hay. My dad would sell it and have a little money. But he never made cash money as far as the guy giving him money. We always had room and board. And we were happy. You ever been so happy, you just can't stand it? Had syrup with biscuits and rub that biscuit in them syrup dripping all over you. We're happy. And it was just a great time to grow up. And my dad, for entertainment, he would take me and my brother to the funeral home. In a little country town, when it got dark, nothing was open. And he would take us to the funeral home for entertainment. Or that's how I seen it. And he didn't care who was laid out. He'd go there and stand up there by the casket. Now, my dad was a big, strong man, but he had one bad thing about him. He was built like a tree, but he had a big old belly. You ever seen guys like that, a big old gut? And my mother would buy him shirts, and he'd button them real good right here, and he'd get about halfway down. He couldn't button his shirts no more, and you could always see his belly button, and he always had his finger in it. I'll tell you, everywhere we'd go, they called my dad Butterball, and they'd say, "How you doing, Butterball?" And he'd take that hand out of that table. "How you doing?" And all the kids would go, "Ugh." And at night, we'd go to the funeral home. He'd take a wash rag and rub our head, wash our face off, and we was ready. And we're driving to the funeral home. We go around the square and go out to this old house that was redone. They put painted windows or stained glass windows in it and made it a funeral home. And if you've ever been to a country funeral home, they eat. And if somebody dies, they bring baked beans, pinto beans. If I die tonight, don't bring beans. I think it's awful. The whole family sitting on the front row around that casket going. But my dad would stand by the casket by somebody he don't even know. And people would come up and view the body and shake my dad's hand. And put it back in that navel. And we're driving to the funeral home. We pull up in that old gravel lot, and he parks the pickup truck, and I reach for the vice grips to open the door. And right when I reach for him, my dad looked at me and said, "Wait a minute." And we looked at him. He's a disciplinarian. I could say it without spitting. I spit on people. He's a disciplinarian. Y'all know what that means? That's what I thought. That's half over here. It's gone. Man, get a blackboard up here. Disciplinarian. That means he was mean as hell. And when he told you something, you done it. And he told me and my brother not to eat anything. And when he got out of the truck, he wobbled on up into the funeral home. And me and my brother went to every vehicle there and stole the Val stem caps. Now, we don't have no bicycles with rubber on them. In the country, you can ride without rubber. But we're stealing these caps. I don't know why. My brother's looking across the car at me and go, "How many you got?" I said, "I got four." He said, "I got six." Whoopee. What are we going to do with them? And we go up into the funeral home, and at these old country funeral homes, they have a kitchen. And, man, we open that kitchen, and there's all that food laying out on the table. And my brother spotted them. There they were. 66 sandwich cookies with the cream on the inside. Shut up. We spotted them and forgot everything my dad said and went over and bush hogged them. Got cookie dust all over, got in the corners of our mouth. And walked out to where my dad was up there by that casket with his finger in his belly button. And he didn't say a word to us till we got right up on him and he started beating the hell out of us, whooping us. Y'all remember whooping? I mean, whooped us in front of that casket, and you could hear everybody all over the place saying, "Look at them heathens." And right about that time, a man walked up in a suit. Said, "Are you?" They called my dad Butterball. I wonder why. And said, "Butterball, we want you to come to Louisville." He didn't say Louisville. He didn't say Louisville. It's pronounced Louisville. Yeah, if you ever go up that way, don't ever go, "Is this Louisville?" They'll say, "Yes, it is. Come around the alley." It's pronounced Louisville. 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 Be here all night. Celebrate. All right. Sorry. And that guy said, "We want you to come to Louisville and work for us driving a truck." And my dad's never made money. And he promised my daddy paying $5 an hour. My dad was so excited. He loaded me and my brother up in that pickup truck, run home. Now, my mother's a big woman, at large, very big woman. And my sisters, I have three sisters who are very big, at large. And my dad pulled up in that old farmhouse, jumped out of the truck, run in the house, went and grabbed my mother, picked her up like this, kissed her right in the mouth, and her feet never left the ground, and put her back down. That old pickup truck had cattle racks on the back of it. He backed that truck up, started loading. We had one couch, only stick of furniture we had. And pushed it up on that couch and tied the legs with grass string in the back and in the front so it wouldn't move. And loaded my three sisters like cattle on the back of that truck. And they took up the whole truck, the whole couch. And then he stacked all kind of Piggly Wiggly bags with underwears and socks and T-shirts. And here we go to Louisville. My brother sat on one arm of that couch, and I sat on the other. Back in them days, it was before 65 was completed. We had been on the road for 3 hours on 31W. My brother is turning purple. He's shaking his legs like this. I said, "Ralph, what's wrong?" He said, "Man, I got to pee." I said, "Tell Daddy." He went, "Hell no." He's scared to death of my daddy, and I'm the idiot. I knock on the door. I said, "Daddy, we got to pee." Now, he didn't look for a rest area or a blacktop parking lot. He pulled right off the side of the road into bushes. My mother took them three girls up in the woods to do their business. I'm going somewhere with this. I know y'all sitting there going, "Is he going to pee or what?" My daddy made me and my brother march to the tailgate of that pickup truck and pee off the back of that pickup truck while cars went by. And I believe that's what made me drink. If there's any new people there, they're going, "By God, he's right." And y'all know, and I know, it don't take nothing to make us drink. And we went on to Louisville, pulled in, and found Louisville. And found a shotgun house. Y'all know what a shotgun house is? Open up the front door and you go open up the back door and you can shoot a shotgun right through it, never hit a wall. Straight through. And found the house and wanted to rent that house. And the old man gave him the key. Back in them days, they just give you the key and say, have my money in 30 days. You didn't have to fill out an arrest record. Or you didn't have to fill out a financial background. They just hand you the key. And my dad, he backed that old truck and pushed that couch off in the front room and got all those kids in the front room. And he said, I'll be right back. I'm going to Booty Probus's used furniture and going to bring some furniture. We waited 45 minutes. He come back with a truckload of junk. Junk. Four rowway beds. Y'all know what rowway beds are? You can't have sex on them. You can't. If you snore, they squeak. He backed that truck up, pushed them rowway beds, and pushed them off in the house and started laying them down, setting up a bedroom. Then he brought in a round table that had chrome around the edge of it, rolled it through the house like it's a wheel, set it up in the kitchen, brought in five chairs that didn't match. One had a heart-shaped back, one had a rectangle back, set them all around that table, and me and my brothers looking at him like, man, look at this. And then he brought in a big TV and set it on the floor, brought in another TV and set it on top of that TV. And I'll never forget the first day he got paid, he come home with two sacks of grocery and a big old stalk of bologna sticking out of it. He brought them groceries in the house and all his kids follow him like hungry wolves. Gets back in the kitchen, takes that stalk of bologna out, lays it on the table, takes out his pocket knife and opens it. Cleaned both sides and then dried it off. Started to cut that bologna, and he'd look at me and my brother. We're standing up looking at it. He'd say, how thick y'all want it? He cut it real thick, and he lay it on top of a big cracker. Remember big crackers before they took the four, you know, them little ones away? They were big crackers, and he'd lay it on that big cracker, take that same knife and waller it through the mustard and make a happy face. And I'd grab that cracker, put another one on top of it, take a bite, and that mustard would shoot through them holes. And you turn it sideways, lick that mustard off, and go in the front room and lay on the floor in your underwear and watch those two TVs. Everybody had two TVs, didn't y'all? Everybody had two TVs, didn't y'all? Y'all know what I'm talking about? One of them had the picture and the other one had the sound. Way before high fidelity. And I swear we thought we were living. And me and my brother started going to school. Ain't got no hair. He took us to the barber college. At the barber college, they teach people how to cut hair on poor people. That's right. My dad would take us old place, and there's an old hateful man that run the place, and he'd look at me and my brother, and he'd look at my dad, and he'd go, how many? My dad said, I got two. And he'd look right at me and go, sit down. I'd sit down in the chair, and I'd get ready to go, can you get, and he pulled my head back like this, and he only had one cut, and it was called off. And me and my brother walked out there looked like two little pit bulls. And we'd go to school. We wore polished cotton shirts and polished cotton pants. We looked like two little heavy maintenance men. And in the 60s, everybody combed their hair back but me and my brother, because we didn't have no hair. And them greasers would lean against the wall. We'd come walking through, and this one smart aleck says, "Hey, we got a light out." And my brother went over and busted that guy right in the mouth. I'm going somewhere with this.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
In the big book, and Dr. Silkworth said, we go back through our lives. Nothing counts but honesty and thoroughness. I don't hear you over. All right, just checking. Woo! Honesty and thoroughness. We go back through our lives. And when I got somewhat sober and had a sponsor take me through the steps, we got to this part. And I remember writing this down. I remember walking the very next day at that same school in front of them same greasers with the same polished cotton pants, polished cotton shirt, and we're walking through the hall. Now, they're scared to death of my brother. He's done hurt one of them. And we go, we're walking down the hall, and he can't see me. I'm walking behind him. And we get right in front of them greasers, and they don't say a word. But he can't see me. As I'm walking by, I'm going like this. I have had a personality change right then and there. Something happened. I changed right then. And Dr. Silkworth says, we try to come back to that. I didn't know that until I came to AA. I never heard of AA. Never. I'd never heard of AA. And I start going to school and run into a little round guy named Charlie. They called him No Neck. Charlie, one of them little heavy, sick guys with no neck. He can't put his arms down. Nothing against heavy people. I love heavy people. It's the skinny people I can't get along with. But I'm getting better. Thank God for the steps. I'm starting to tolerate y'all. And man, me and Charlie got along real good. And Charlie said, Roger, do you drink? And I'd never drank before in my life. I said, hell yeah, I drink. He said, man, be here Friday night. I'll have a bottle at the football game. I was there Friday night. Charlie brought out a bottle of Orange Rock vodka. Had the bag twisted around the neck. He pulled that bottle out like this. He said, Rod, look what I got. Everybody drinks Orange Rock vodka, don't you? Got a witness. The ones that don't, you know why? You've never heard of it? Because it's expensive. $1.07 a quart. And Charlie would take that top off that bottle, he'd lean back, take a big pull off of it, and he'd pull it out real fast, and he'd start slapping himself in the face. He'd say, come on, Rod, hit me in the face like you do in them movies. I said, hand me that bottle. And I grabbed that bottle from Charlie. I put it up to my mouth, and every time you put alcohol in me, every time, if I do it tonight, the same thing happens. You put alcohol in me and my jaws stick out. And I'd hand the bottle back to Charlie. Charlie grab that bottle. He'd take another big pull off of it. He'd pull it out and he'd start bobbing and weaving. He'd say, come on, Rog. Hit me in the jaw like they do in that movie. And I'm trying to grab that bottle. I get the bottle from him. I lean back. I take a big pull off of it, and this time my hands start tightening. And all I can think about is his jaw. I hand the bottle back to Charlie. Charlie grabbed the bottle, and I'm standing over here like this. I wish you would. Charlie taking a big pull off of it. He pulled it out of his mouth. He goes, "Hey, Raj!" I went, bam! I hit him right in the jaw. And he sat down on the curb and started crying. Started calling me all those Torrance names. Y'all know them. And that was the first time I ever got a buzz. Remember the first time you got a buzz? Hell yeah, you do. That's why you're here. I got a buzz. I'm telling you, man, my ears got real red and my neck got real hot and I got real sexy. And I started chasing it. I chased that buzz all the way to penitentiary. Went to penitentiary. Got in penitentiary, didn't change nothing. Got out. Alcoholics Anonymous is about change. And I didn't change nothing. How long can you keep coming here and not change nothing? How long can you wade around that cesspool of you and not change? I done it. It's horrible. It's so lonely just to be you. And I couldn't get out. And I got out of penitentiary, and what did I do? If you keep on doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. And that's what happened. If you don't change the thinking, you go back to the drinking. It's just common sense. Did you ever heard anybody say, "Well, he got drunk"? No kidding. He had to. There was nothing else to turn to. And I got locked up and I went back to penitentiary. It's not nothing you want to put on your resume. It's nothing to brag about. And this time when I went back, I was tired. I was so tired, so sick of me. After a while, you just get sick of you. And I mean, they put me in a cell with a young black kid. His name is Hambone. And I think, man, this kid's my messenger. And I thought, man, if God sends me somebody, why can't he send me a white man named Eric? Or Michael? Oh, no, I got to be real drama. He sends me Hambone. And I walk in the cell, and Hambone is folding towels. He works in the laundry. And soon they unhook us. Take all the jewelry off of us and open the cell door. Walked in that cell, and he'd hold his arms up like this. He goes, "God loves you." And I went, "Wrong cell." And it was the right cell. God ain't never late. He's always, always on time. Look back through your life. Always. I was riding on the hood of a car, and the guy slammed on the brakes. And I went flying. I should have died. Things happen. He saved it for this moment. Because I walked in that cell and Hambone would get on his knees in front of me. You don't get on your knees in front of another man. Not in penitentiary. You don't go to penitentiary and go, "Can we share?" And he got on his knees. He said, "Roger, won't you pray with me?" And I came off with the best stuff I got, the best I got. He said, "Why don't you pray with me?" I said, "Why don't you go to hell?" Because when you're an idiot, that's the best we got. And that's all I have. And they put me on the road crew. I go out and pick up stuff off the road, come back in, and I come back in at the end of the night, and Hambone would get on his knees. For the next 8 months, he did the same thing. He was determined. He'd get on his knees and he'd hold his hand up. He'd say, "Roger, won't you pray with me?" And deep down inside, I swear to God, I wanted to. But I can't. I'm selfish and self-centered. What if one of the white guys see me? What if one of the guards see me on my knees with a black kid? I'm from Western Kentucky. He's from Eastern, West, East. He's black, I'm white. What if we're always worrying? What are you going to think? God, it'll drive you nuts. And it was driving me crazy. And 8 months later, I'm out on the road and I'm picking up trash. And I picked up one of them church tracks. You ever seen them tracks? And it showed a picture of a cross. And at the middle of the cross, it was real bright. And it showed two stick men running on them sideboards, going to the middle. And when they get to the middle, the cross would light up. And I don't know why. I mean, I know why. But I didn't know why then. I know today. Something happened when I looked at that. I've been living in the dark all my life. All my life. And I can't get out. And that night, on the bus ride back to the penitentiary, I said, "If that little kid asked me tonight, I'm praying with him. I dare him. I hope he asked me." And sure enough, they brought us in, opened up the cell, and there he was on his knees. And he said, "Roger, won't you pray with me?" I said, "You bet." I pushed his hand back. I ain't grabbing his hand. I'm too tough. Pushed his hand back. And I went to get on my knees right beside him. In a penitentiary with a black kid from Eastern Kentucky. And right when I got on my knees, right, "I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to do it." I could hear the guards coming. They're walking down, they're counting each cell. And they get to our cell, and I jumped up. And right when I jumped up, this kid who's my messenger, right on time, God ain't never late. He said, "Roger, God don't care who's watching." I thought, man, can you bring it down a little? I mean, he's getting loud. "God don't care who's listening." He said, "God is the perfect gentleman. He's ready whenever you're ready." And I got back down on my knees. And I swear, I asked God to help me. And something happened. Something happened right then. The big book says unless we have a psychic chain, there's very little hope of recovery. And I've had a psychic change. And I've had a change of heart. Something's happened to me. And I know what it is. I do. Something's happened. And I got out of that penitentiary and went to a halfway house. Because people like us have to go to halfway houses. And I stayed in the halfway house for 2 years. You can only stay 90 days. And everywhere I'd go to get my paper signed, I'd go, "Some are sick or nethers." Oh, shut up. I hate them guys, don't you? I tell you, were you satisfied? Yeah, you still over there, eh? Some are sicker than others. I thought, your mama. God, I hated that. And I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And I wanted what y'all had. Now I'm ready. Now I am ready. And I ran into Charlie. Charlie's at the meeting. And Charlie's with his wife. And Charlie's short and heavy, and his wife is short and heavy. And they got matching haircuts. They're wearing the same color of shirts. Oh, they're so cute. And I see Charlie, and he said, come on up here and sit with us. I went, And I did go up there, sat with him, and I wanted what he had. I really did. And he'd go get coffee for his wife. And she'd say, boo, boo, will you put two sweet and low? I thought, oh, God, if he puts that in there, I'm hitting him. And he done it. And he brought it back to her. And then after the meeting, I said, Charlie, will you be my sponsor? He said, hell no. I said, why, man? He said, Rod, your eyes ought to be brown. You're so full of He said, be at my house Saturday morning. I'm going to take you through the first three steps. I went over to his house. I had to walk there. He don't come and get you. He lives at 28th Street. I live at the halfway house on 4th Street. Got there and I knocked on the door. Here's a guy that I vomited with. Here's a guy I've seen crawl around on the floor and look like coffee was spilt down his pants. And I open up the door, there's doilies on the couch. I said, no, there ain't. He's got doilies. Damn doilies. I can't believe it. And he's got a big old wooden thing that's holding the big book. You seen the big print big book? He's got it on the country people used to put it on, put their Bibles there. And he said, Rod, before we get started. And he told me what we were going to do. We're going to go through the first three steps. He said, I'm going back in the kitchen and get Kool-Aid. Would you like a glass? I said, I would. He said, well, start clapping. Huh? He said, start clapping. I said, I ain't clapping. He said, well, you might as well leave. Oh, shit. I started clapping. He goes back and gets the Kool-Aid. I start getting into it. He come back in the room with the Kool-Aid. He said, stop clapping. He said, take the Kool-Aid. I took the Kool-Aid. I said, Charlie, why'd you have me clapping? He said, Roger, because you're a thief. Yeah. And he said, if your hands are moving, you can't steal nothing. I as dumb as I look. I caught it. And we started to go through the first three steps. And a guy knocked at the door named Mike. He said, Rod, let Mike in. I went over and let Mike in. And Mike sat down and Charlie said, Mike. You want some Kool-Aid? And he said, yeah. He looked over at me, he goes, Rod, you want Kool-Aid? I said, you know I do. He said, you know what to do too, don't you? I said, you know that. I done got good at this. But Mike ain't clapping. I thought, whoo, he's gonna get in trouble. He come back in, he said, Rod, quit clapping. Grab your Kool-Aid. I grabbed a Kool-Aid. I couldn't wait. I said, Mike wasn't clapping. Charlie said, Mike ain't a thief. That don't bother me. You ever been in a store and somebody goes, hey, Goofy, and you're what? So it didn't bother me. And I started to get better. Didn't even see it happening. I was getting better. I was taking meetings to jail. And guess who walked in? Red. God, you should have seen her. My wife's got red hair. Her name is Beth. And I'd sit behind her at every meeting. I knew every meeting she was going to, and I'd sit behind her, and I'd lean up, and I'd say, Beth, when are we going out? And you know how redheads are. She'd turn around real quick and said, when pigs fly. I thought, she wants me. She wants me. Every meeting she would go to, I'd sit behind her and ask her every day. For 3 years I did that. And on the third year, guess what happened? The pig flew. Determination. And we went, she said, I'll go out with you. Let's go someplace where it's litted and a lot of people. Shoot, I don't care. We went to Dairy Queen. And I went in, got two cones, brought it out. I hand her cone, and she jumped up my face and kissed me. I couldn't walk. I don't get it. They say, come and share and be honest. And you be honest, and everybody laughs. And now in 1997, on Christmas Eve, I went to her apartment, and her roommate was gone. And I'd bought a ring from a store. It's big in Kentucky. You didn't buy it off the street. Bought it from a store. Made payments. And I got on my knees, and I asked Beth to marry me. And I started crying. And she started crying. And her roommate come in and said, what happened? And Beth goes, Rick. And she said, Roger, what's wrong? I said, And we're going to get married. 1997. May the 30th, we got married. On December the 12th, we had a little girl. That's 9 months. Don't even add it up. We had a little girl named Lily, and life was just perfect. I'm a truck driver. Everybody in this room has seen me driving a truck. Go ahead, shake your head. I ain't never saw you. Look again. And we had another little girl, Katie, in 2001. In 2001, I had a wreck and got my foot tore off in Cincinnati. And they didn't think I'd ever walk again. And they didn't think I was going to live because I lost so much blood. But there's a little house up there called Oak Street House. It's a clubhouse. They came every day to my bedside and brought me a meeting, even when I didn't even know they were there. You ever went to visit people who are going, yeah. And they came every day. I love Cincinnati Hospital. I love people from Cincinnati. I love Angie. She knows it. I love Vicky Wong. And y'all don't know Vicky, but you'd know her if she walked in here. Just love. Love, man. I never loved so much. And right about this time, I was in a wheelchair. My wife had a little Katie. And they wanted me to cut the cord. You know how you are, you're real sensitive. They said, you want to cut the cord? I went, no, no. And I heard her. And I couldn't cut the cord. And I got nothing but girls. All my life I wanted to live with chicks. Be careful what you pray for. And I got a bad foot. And they said, you'll never walk again. Shut up. I can walk. I can dance. But them little girls have little naked Barbies. My foot's real sensitive, and I stepped on one of them hard boobies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Barbies got the hard boobies like rocks. Nothing but girls. You ever live with girls? I had to clean the drain out every week. Why do y'all do it in the right over sink? And I thought, man, I wish we could have a little boy. We tried to have a little boy, and my wife miscarried 2 times. And then a little girl came along who was pregnant, could not get sober. And Beth tried to help her. And she was pregnant. She was carrying a little boy. And Beth would try to, she'd read a big book to her. She'd read a 12 and 12 to her. And she'd go back out and she'd get on cracks and marijuanas while she was pregnant. And then she had the little boy. She named him Christian. And at 10 weeks old, she brought him to our house and said, will y'all watch Christian? I said, hell yeah. I grabbed Christian and held him on and wee, 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 wee. And he'd pull, his lips would pull on my neck. Shut up. And 4 months later, she didn't come back for 4 months. Now, everybody else, you tell us in church, and they go, oh. But you tell us in AA, we know what she looks like. Everybody in here knows what she looked like. She looked like a dog that crawled out from under a porch. She said, I come to get Christian. And Lily and Kaylee has already fell in love with him. They done went to Old Navy and bought onesies for him. And twosies. With Old Navy on them. And that girl came and said, I'm here to get Christian. I said, Beth, give me Christian. She said, are you crazy? I said, Beth, give me Christian. And she wouldn't give him to him. And I had to pull him out of her arms. And I gave it back to that little girl. And that little girl left. I live with 3 girls. Have you ever lived with 3 girls who hate you? They hate me. I'm just a truck driver, man. I try to work enough to feed them. And every night I'd come home, I'd walk in the house and they'd walk in the other room. Every night. And on the third night, that little girl showed up again with Christian. She said, Roger, will you watch Christian? I said, hell yeah. Oh, dang. Give me Christian. And I brought him in the house, and everything was happy. Woo, Daddy. And she didn't come back. And my sponsor said, if she doesn't come back in 2 weeks, go file emergency adoption. And I did. I went and filed emergency adoption, and in Kentucky, it costs $1,400 every time you go to court. You got to go to court 7 times. And I don't make that much money. And I'd go to court, and the prosecuting attorney would come and hug me. I'm a convicted felon. And the prosecuting attorney will put her arms around me. She goes, I'm so proud of you. But for the grace of God, man, I'm telling you. And I went back. And the only reason they go through seven court times is see if anybody's going to make, you know, say, hey, that's my kid. And they sent that little girl letters, gave her all opportunities. And I'm broke. And I went there the seventh time. And the judge and the prosecuting attorney, they're looking at me and they're going, well, man, it's going to happen today. And that girl come through the door and she started calling us MFs, SOBs. And the judge stood up and said, get out of my court. Get out. And they gave that child to us. And I'm telling you, man, that little kid, I thought I could, you know how you feel, you can't, with your first child, you couldn't love another child, and I got the second child, I can't love another child, and he came right in. And I'm a tough guy. I'm like butter. I am so easy. And today, I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying, that kid looks just like me. Swear he does. Arsene walks like me. I talked to him tonight on the phone. He goes, hey, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm in California. Shut up. And at school, they bring a fire truck and they let the kids crawl all over him. And I go pick him up. And he gets in the car. He goes, Dad, guess what? Dad, a fire truck. He said, we all crawled all over it. I said, man, that was neat, wasn't it? I said, you get behind the steering wheel? Yeah, Dad. I said, what was the most important part of your day? He said, being with you. You can have my drink. Take my drink. You can have whatever else, the marijuanas and the cracks. And you can have mine. I'll take Christian and AA and the grace of a loving God. Woo! Thank y'all.
Thank you, brother.
We hope you have enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.